In the $1,000 challenge, I went into TK last Monday. And by the end of the week, I was able to get 2.27% out of that investment. It was enough to beat Nasdaq. Nasdaq up 0.89% last week. Despite being overbought, Nasdaq keep pushing upwards. Dow Jones did even a little better, up 1.27%. We are heading for week 48, and you are listening to the Stock Invest.us podcast Trading Tips with Jim, where I again will tell you what I will do in this week's $1,000 challenge. I'm trying to grow $1,000 as fast as I can, and doing that for a few months already. Trying to do that double before Christmas, but it's getting harder and harder. What will I do this week? You will know that by the end of the podcast. But a new week is here. And we will look into the market now, try to tell you what are the main things for the week ahead of us and how I think market will move. And for anyone who follows me, and is quite many of you, know that for 3 weeks I've been off after being correct week after week after week. I started to get wrong when I thought Nasdaq would move down. I said that last week, Nasdaq is totally overbought. I haven't seen Nasdaq this long. What you should have a natural correction. It may not happen. We've seen this before, but that's the normal thing when Nasdaq is being as overbought as it was last week, sitting at 91. Nasdaq had a good Monday, then slowly fell during the week, but still ended up week over week. And I told you, there is a few things that I really like. One of these things is when Nasdaq is being stubborn like this. It's building up support below. And I had a check at the chart before the podcast, of course, looking where are we now. And Nasdaq is still being heavily overbought on the relative strength index. And everything signals that the market should go down. But that, as said many times before, is just a natural reaction. It doesn't have to be by very much. But the relative strength index should lower down to at least 50 before we start to see a new strong upturn. And right now, the chart may actually say that we will have an epic end of the year. But I've been in the market for a very long time. I've seen everything and I know how things can change suddenly. And one of the things that may turn this around is Thursday's personal consumption expenditure numbers or more inflation numbers. These are expected to come in 0.2% month over month or 3.6% year over year. If these numbers are in the upper end, the chances that Powell will increase the interest rates goes up and market should react downwards. That is maybe the main number. As I told you over the last few weeks, there are some geopolitical things that I really like. Right now we have a ceasefire in Israel between IDF and Hamas, exchanging hostages. In general, that thing, that quiet thing where things are not escalating, is very good for the market, because the market will keep an eye on what is happening and try to calculate the next thing. That war could have escalated out to something really bad, but currently it is somewhat stable and we really like that. Same thing with Ukraine, it's somewhat stable. We don't read too much in the news, but the war is still there and it looks like it will continue for some more time. But also there, we are starting to see more and more political signs that argue for they try to make a peace arrangement in Ukraine as well. And I told you over and over again, if this thing happens, I think market will just explode. And hopefully, this will continue, because right now, the only thing that is happening is that the pile of dead humans, mainly young men, both sides are piling up on the battlefields in Ukraine. And there is nothing to gain from that other than losing a generation of as I said, mainly young men. So, for the sake of the Ukrainians, for the sake of the world, and for the sake of everyone, I still hope that we soon can see some peace around Ukraine. And that might settle for more peaceful events in the rest of the world, because over especially the last 3 years, the tension has been increasing in every single corner. China, we are on the brink of problems with China. You heard all of this. You heard me 4 years ago telling how Ukraine war would break out. You heard long before inflation came how inflation will come. I tried to give you the long lines. And I'm so happy to say that right now I see tendencies which makes me believe that maybe we are heading for a much more positive future. I am starting to get far more optimistic. Maybe I'm just a pessimistic person. Who knows? But I'm starting to look a little bit more optimistic at things. And we have this China conflict, this Taiwan conflict, which I thought would come in second half of 2023. It is still there. Things are happening, but it is not escalating. It's more stable, which is just another good thing. So these big geopolitics things are starting to settle down. I don't see any like major news over the week. We know that Israel most likely is going back to bombing in Gaza. UNDIVIS continue their operations inside Gaza to neutralize Hamas. But still, they're also pushing for more peace. They're exchanging hostages as we speak. So the background, geopolitical background, looks to me like being maybe a good stable week. And then there is just the Thursday's numbers, which I think will affect the market in either way. Again, very often it's Thursday, but Thursday I think is the day that you should look out for. It's the typical day where if you are in the puts and the calls can make insane good money. We'll just have to see how Thursday comes up. Before that, there will be a lot of quarter numbers. And here are a few of the major ones. CrowdStrike will be tomorrow. On Wednesday, you will have Dollar Tree, Foot Locker, and Salesforce. And you will have Secret, Victoria's Secret. So you will see how much sexy underwear and how they are doing in a period when most people are losing their buying power. For companies like Foot Locker, I'm personally into Foot Locker myself. I bought Foot Locker quite cheap after being hammered. I thought there was a buying opportunity in Foot Locker, and so far I'm doing well. But now I will really know because I can get back to scratch in a single day as Foot Locker, as I said, will have quarter results on Wednesday. They've been struggling a lot, not only with the thefts, but also with general sales. But now we will see how resilient the sales are and the future forecast. You have to remember this, that the stock market always tries to predict much more ahead. And now the stock market is predicting that Foot Locker will start to either slower falling rate of revenues, some signs of improvements, or actual improvements. That's why the price is going. That's the expectation of the market. Now, if Foot Locker do the opposite, then they should be hammered again. Upside to me seems very big, and that is why, as I said, I am personally invested in Foot Locker. Thursday, there will be these big numbers, as I said, but you will also have Dell, Kruger, Marvel, and TD with their quarter numbers on Thursday. And if you wonder how can I trade on quarter numbers, well, there is two things which I'd like to remind you. First off, if you own any of these stocks, be prepared that during quarter results, before, during, and after quarter results, there will be movements in your stock. You should be prepared for these things and maybe make up your mind ahead if you want to be totally exposed, if you want to reduce your exposure, and or if you want to hedge, because you can hedge these things again with puts and calls in different ways. You can hedge your investments. So if things happen the bad way, you can gain on that as a hedge. Now, another number on Thursday is the job number, and job numbers are increasing. Unemployment rates are going up. It had to happen. It happened slower than I thought, but it is finally happening, and it is going currently at a slow pace, but it is ticking upwards. So what is good about job numbers ticking upwards? Unemployment is because it has a cooling effect on the economy. And inflation is the worst thing for any economy. Now, many people say that now we're finished with inflation. We will get back to a 2% level. There will be drops in interest rate hikes next year. I am not among this. I think inflation will tick upwards again. We are now having just a natural correction down from the top. My personal bet is that inflation is heading upwards. And before we look at the buy and sell signals and come to a conclusion about these things, one of the things, and you heard also this through this series of podcasts, how I invested into gold, because I thought gold could hedge me against inflation. It could hedge me against the uncertainties. Now, if the worst thing happened, I thought that gold would hold me safe. I'm not the only person thinking so. So far, I got into gold when gold was around 1600, maybe two years ago, or whatever it is, 2.5 years ago, I got into gold at 1600. Gold is currently sitting well above $2,000. And now everyone is saying that it will hit, for my target, $2,500. Gold has always, through history, been treasured. It's the most ancient things we have, and it's really a piece of human history. Gold, always when there is crisis, gold being the one safe things, and it's typical. The situation, I just mentioned geopolitical issues. When there is geopolitical stress or economic stress, gold is doing good. And that is the reason why gold is pushing upwards now. Gold, you find that in more or less everywhere in nature, but somewhere it's more concentrated than other places. Typical rivers, and many of you probably seen gold washing programs on Discovery or something, where they're washing either in the rivers or close to the river banks, and that is because gold has been washed down the mountains in such way. And very funny, actually, it's also a pleasure to mention that I have personally been washing gold. I have found gold and been very lucky to have a friend that found the biggest gold river in Norway, for instance. I was lucky to be there and wash out gold pieces myself. So I have this experience. I tried gold panning. I've tried dredging underwater with hose. It was such a nice experience, and it is a very calm experience. So if you ever wonder if you should try it, I urge you, try it. It's one of the adventures that you will remember for the rest of your life. I am not by any means done with gold washing. I hope to do more gold washing next year and maybe even show it in this series, this podcast series. That will be the spring, because right now it's winter and it's not the time for gold washing. Anyway, what I wanted to say, if you took all the gold, you could fill 3 Olympic stadiums. That is all the gold that ever been dug out of the ground. So it's a limited resource. And it doesn't have any borders. Gold goes everywhere, across any nation. And it usually has somewhat the same pricing, meaning it doesn't matter. Like if you've been in one of these social countries like Argentina that had such inflation over the years, hammered by socialism, like any other countries that try socialism, getting hammered, economy ruined. Gold was always stable while the peso fell to absolutely nothing over and over and over again, devaluated. Gold held up because gold is international. And another funny thing is that gold weighs 19 times more per kilo. It's a strange thing when you hold the gold nuggets, that small things weighs so much more. So a kilo gold is still a kilo gold, but it's a very, very small item compared to anything. So rocks are usually 3 to 4 to 5 times the weight of the gold compared to, it's usually literally that you compare to. Now, gold is being recycled, and maybe you saw a few YouTube videos where they recycle all of these things. Now, I mentioned gold because I still think gold is one of the places where you want to be. Another thing about gold is so easy to buy and sell gold. Every country has a way to buy and sell. Very often you have to pay, of course, a margin when you buy and sell. And some places this is as low as a percent, some even lower. But in general, if you go to a store, you can expect 5% loss, because that's the margin that the shop wants. You have jewelry shops buying, and you have special gold shops. You can trade gold over the exchange. You can trade gold in so many forms and shapes. And it's really one of these things that can hedge you if things go very sour. I have most of my gold as paper value, meaning that it's just papers. I will take quite much of it out in physical gold. I have some of it as physical gold, but most of it is just in paper format. You can just buy it any day you want, and you will be sitting there. Enough about gold. What I wanted to end the gold talk about is gold have always been a good secure item. Sometimes when interest rates are low and stock market is doing good, gold is outperformed. But over the last 50 years, gold have tripled more than 40 times. So you can imagine how much it's up by 40 times over the last 50 years. Next jump now, as everyone predicts, is up to 2,500. That was my target when I started to invest into gold. I told you my guess is that gold will go up to 2,500. I think gold will go much more than that, but that was the one target that I put. And now everyone is saying that gold will go up to 2,500. Will it happen? That is a 20% upside, by the way, from today's price. A little bit more, actually, close to 25% upside. We will see what happens. You have to remember that gold is tied to the dollar, and I am sitting in the euro. So you have to consider that as well. Gold is also being tied more up to oil, as you speak, happening in Asia, etc., where they try to go away from the petrodollar, trying to tie oil up to either yuan or gold. Gold, as I said, above 2000 when looking before the podcast, it was $2,013, up $35 last week, or 1.74%, beating Nasdaq by the double, in fact. Oil, another thing which I really like, was down by a dollar, trading at $75 as we speak, but I think there is more upside to dollar. Right now there is a fight, as you know, Biden, he went to the countries which has been sanctioned for years and years, Venezuela, Iran, for the way of practicing human rights. They have been banned from oil production. It's been the standard all the time, trying to force democracy by preventing them to flood the market with oil. But Biden, he doesn't care. He wants energy prices down. It's a way to fight inflation, because much of the inflation was driven by the energy prices. So he has allowed Venezuela to get back with oil, and Iran getting back to oil, and they're currently flooding the market. On top of this, he is dumping the U.S. strategic reserves to lows, which it hasn't been in decades. Dumping oil onto the market, trying to push prices downwards, but Saudi Arabia is saying that we will cut even more. So there is a fight between the bulls and the bears in the oil market, and that shouldn't make for the biggest movements as we speak. Something very special have to happen now. And remember, if we go into an economic downturn, oil should turn downwards because the demand for oil is there. It might be that we are at the top of the oil. I was hoping for one more rally. You got me. I got in when oil was 20, been really happy with these investments. I was hoping for one last rally to squeeze out whatever is left in the oil sector. Now, these were the numbers. What are the conclusions for the week ahead of us before we heading to the $1,000 challenge and the end of the podcast? Well, I think, I probably will be wrong this week again, but the market is so overbought, there should be a correction down. I will therefore not overinvest into the market. I will remain calm, as I have been, because I think it's a higher chance of a downside than an upside. Right now, it doesn't look like it will be much. Just last week, everything indicated that it would be much more, but RSI is calming slowly downwards. The buy signals across all signals are 35%. It's quite high, but actually down from 36% last week. Nasdaq is even down as well. It was 32% last week, currently 30. And Nasdaq, New York Stock Exchange, is up from 32 to 36. So Nasdaq is starting, New York Stock Exchange is starting to get a bit high. London down from 35 to 32. Tokyo down from 27 to 25, and Shenzhen, China, down from 48 to 34. So across the globe and across the markets, actually buy signals were going down, and that's somewhat good signal, because when they start to get too high, you can have these huge extremes fall. And what we want now is just a gradual, slow pace, and build up ground for faster upturn, because despite being negative, I'm still in the stock market. I have some 35-37% invested. It's changing a little bit from day to day, and of course I want these to go upwards. I'm very happy to see crypto, because I'm also into crypto, continue to push upwards. So if I'm wrong, I will still make money, but I'm not at the point where I want to invest more. I rather keep my money in gold and other things, wait until we have a little bit more certainty in the market before I fully invest. If you by any chance should be a new listener and you haven't listened to 4 years of podcasting, well, when pandemic hit, markets totally crashing, you heard me going 100% into the market, and when Nasdaq hit 16,000, I was slowly going out of the market, reducing, and some maybe a year ago I started to increase a little bit, down a little bit, and increase a little bit, but I'm still not where I want to be fully invested into the market. As I told you, I've been there for a long time. I've seen markets move up and down. And maybe, just maybe, we were bottoming last January and we will just continue upwards. I've seen it all. Nasdaq may hit 20,000 in just 2 years. Everything can happen. But I think geopolitical issues will be one of the main items to change that, because we have to get back to a decent pace where trade starts to become normal, because right now we're building blocks and nothing good will come out of it. So start to get some peace, start to get Russia back into the world trade, because Russia is so tightly connected with the East that anything we do to Russia pushes us farther away from countries like China, India, other major countries also known as BRICS. They're forming their own economic union. And it's just growing stronger day by day, and eventually there will be huge fights between these two major economies, and we do not want that. We want trade to float as good as natural, because still, most of the things that we buy in the shop are from Asia. We're not where we produce things ourselves. Coming to the conclusion, 25 minutes into the podcast, a few minutes left. Well, I believe... We will have a slight downturn this week. That will be my bet. May I be wrong? I really hope that. I judge that from market being overbought, but watch out for Thursday. That may change everything. Now, what about the $1,000 challenge? You heard me last week saying that I will try to buy TK as low as I can on Monday. And post it on the YouTube version of this podcast series. And I posted to you that I bought TK at 7.04. TK went up during the week to 7.30-ish, some 33, 32, and then fell a little back, ending the week at 7.20, giving me 2.27% profit. We need much more than that if we are to grow this anywhere fast, because right now the portfolio is only up 15% so far. We are way, way behind where we should be. And with only 4 weeks left of Christmas, it will be even harder to make these 15% into 100% gain, doubling the 1,000 that we started with. I had a look at charts before that. I see a lot of stocks which I want to go into, but I made the decision I will stay in TK also this week because I'm uncertain how the market will move. So I will not gamble too much. TK looks to me to have an upside. It will correlate quite much with the oil price. It will not be by very much, but I think there is more percentages to squeeze out of TK, if I'm correct. We will end somewhere around 760, and that might be nice levels to get out and secure a 10% profit. And for the rest of the period, with the profit that we have, I will take a bit higher risks. So expect the last 4 weeks of the year where we will increase the risks a little bit. But as you know, if we increase the risk, we stand to lose more. It's some of the things about trading. It's so easy to get impatient. And then you take two huge charges and you lose quite much. 27 minutes. I think it's time to wrap up the podcast. I will focus more on different stocks to buy because I see I finally see that the slow, we had the magnificent seven stocks moving, tickers like Tesla, Microsoft, Meta, Nvidia, they have been moving the market all week, while the rest have been really slow. And most of you own these other stocks. You are not in the magnificent seven, so you haven't had any real strong gains this year, despite market been moving quite good. You may, most of you, actually sit with losses, but signs are showing that these stocks are starting to pick up, and I think they will continue to do so. And when they really start to fire up, when investments move to more risky stocks, there will be some ultra gains, and we want to get back into that game where we buy the stocks that have been oversold on the relative index, had the huge fall, showing signs to bounce up, little resistance above. That's where we originally wanted to be. It was just that now the market is a little high, so I want to be not too risky in the trades. Did I have any chance to go for metal detecting last week? No, I didn't. The snow is already laying here in Vilnius. It's getting colder by the day, but I still hope that I will have a few more tries before the end of the year. If I do so, I will share it with you as I have for the last year. I can only wish you the very best of a week. I hope you will do some amazing trades, that your portfolio will be much greener by the end of the week than when we start this week. Trading is just a few hours away, and despite trading being very exciting, I really hope that you also enjoy your family, you enjoy your hobbies, you do other things, but because the trading can be very consuming, and you will need the backbone, the good support for the red days, because there will be red days. All you want is to be more than 50% correct. That is where you make the money. Do not expect to make every trade perfect. You want to reduce your losses, and the way to do that is using stop loss. Remember that, use stop loss on your trade. Sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly where to set them. You have to look at the volatility of your stock, how fast it moves up and down during a day, how much does it move during a day, and trying to figure out where to put the stop loss and tune it as you learn. And you will thank me over and over again. After 10, 15 trades, you will really start to see the pattern and understand why it's so important. Increase your gains, reduce your losses, that's the recipe of making money. I hope that when we meet next week, you have had some experience using stop loss if you haven't already tried it. Until next week, just have the best of the week.
Welcome to StockInvest.us Stock Analysis. We remind you that trading involves a high risk of losing money, and that you should speak with a financial advisor before buying or selling any securities. You should not base your investment decision upon StockInvest.us. By using the information, you agree and are held liable for your own investment decisions.